Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Have you ever heard of someone that moved to a different area of the country and when they got there, they began church sampling? First they went to this one and then to that one, and after a while to another. How do you go about choosing a church? Do you select the one with the most beautiful building, or the one with the outstanding choir, or maybe the one with the most handsome pastor? You smile, but you'd be surprised how people select a church, or even how they don't select one. During this class period of the Emmaus Bible Hour, we're going to be talking about that very subject, choosing a church. We're studying the Emmaus Correspondence course titled Lessons for Christian Living, and this is Lesson 7. At the close of the program, we'll be telling you how to get this entire course in book form, that is, in paperback edition. Now, Lesson 7, Choosing a Church. How can a Christian know which church to join? By way of introduction to this subject, it should be stated that a person is joined to the true church at the very moment of his conversion. This church is made up of every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of race, color, or culture. Members of the church are found throughout the world, though the entire church has never yet been assembled in one place. However, it is possible for Christians in any locality to gather together as members of the church, and they are able to perform the functions which are set forth in Scripture. In the early days, the believers met in their own homes. Notice what it says in Acts 2:42. That's the second chapter of Acts, verse 42. We read that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The program of the early church was a simple one, and they did not neglect the basics. Here's the way someone described the early church. The early church was distinguished by simplicity, purity, and directness. She possessed little silver or gold. She attached little importance to external authority. Her social prestige was negligible. But the Apostle Peter himself, made a bold warrior by the coming of the Holy Spirit, could say to a man who thought that gold was as good as God, "Thy money perish with thee." Whenever the early church sounded the trumpet, the walls of some Jericho fell down. The early church was reminded in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling together, as is the habit of some. That reference was Hebrews 10:25. It is obviously the Lord's will that Christians should meet together regularly as members of the church. Moreover, great portions of the New Testament are devoted to teaching believers their privileges and responsibilities as members of the body of Christ. Yet it is somewhat of a problem for a new convert today to know where he should unite in fellowship. There are so many different groups of Christians and such a wide difference in some of their teaching. In a few moments, we're going to make a list designed to help the young believer find the right path. At the same time, it should be emphasized that the entire question should be made the matter of earnest prayer that God's will might be clearly known. Our understanding of what the church is must come from God's word alone. Traditions and customs of men must be tested by the Bible, by its teachings on this subject. Let's pause for some music. We'll give you time to get your Bible, also a pen and paper. You may want to copy down these guidelines as well as the scripture references. We'll be repeating the scripture references twice so that you will be sure to get them.
Thank you.
are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're studying together the course Lessons for Christian Living. We're on Lesson 7 and page 2 of that particular lesson. Our subject this time, choosing a church. And now some guidelines in choosing a church. Be sure that the group with whom you identify yourself acknowledges the Bible as the inspired and infallible Word of God. Be sure they bow to the Scriptures as the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. It's not enough to say that the Bible contains the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And therefore it is absolutely true, and we must believe it and obey it. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That's the second letter to Timothy, the third chapter, and verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Second, be sure that those with whom you meet are unmistakably clear as to the person of Christ. Many are willing to admit that Christ was a great leader, the greatest man who ever lived, or even use the word divine in describing him. But the great truth concerning our blessed Savior is that He is God, and nothing less than this will do. In that regard, please note Colossians 2:9. That's the second chapter of Colossians and the ninth verse. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." The third important thing to watch for is sound teaching concerning the work of Christ. Scripture teaches that the Lord Jesus lived a sinless life, that He voluntarily died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, that He was buried, that He rose again and ascended into heaven, where He is now seated at the right hand of God. Salvation is obtained solely by faith in Him, and quite apart from any works or human merit. Be sure to find out what is taught concerning the precious blood of Christ. Apart from that blood, there can be no remission of sins. In addition to meeting these three primary tests, one should be sure that the local church does not contradict, by word or practice, the following four important truths concerning the body of Christ. First consideration, Christ is the head of the church. No man may claim this position. Where Christ is acknowledged as head, the church will look to Him and to Him alone for dictation and guidance. Turn to Colossians 1:18. That's the first chapter of Colossians and the 18th verse. This is concerning the Lord Jesus. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. Second point concerning the body of Christ, all believers are members of the body of Christ. All born-again ones should therefore be welcomed into the fellowship of the church. There are two exceptions to this rule. Those who are unsound in doctrine, 2 John verse 10, that's 2 John, which has only one chapter, and note that it's the 10th verse. The other exception, those who are living in sin. In 1 Corinthians 5:13, the Apostle Paul states clearly, "Remove the wicked man from among you." That reference again is 1 Corinthians 5:13. You should read the whole chapter to understand the action. So for these two reasons, those who are unsound in doctrine and those who are living in sin, they should be excluded from the fellowship until they have been restored to the Lord. Certainly no unbeliever should knowingly be received into church fellowship. And now the third consideration concerning the body of Christ, and this one may surprise some. All believers are priests. Look carefully at 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. That's the first letter of Peter in the second chapter, the ninth verse. The Apostle Peter wrote to the believers these words, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." In the New Testament, there is no distinction as to priests and people. all Christians may now enter by faith into the presence of God, bringing sacrifices of praise and worship and service. In the early church, all the members were to be students of the Word. All the believers were to be soul winners. All were to be busy for God. And that should characterize the church today. The fourth truth concerning the body of Christ is that the authority of the Holy Spirit should be recognized. Whether in worship or in service, ministry or discipline, there should be liberty for the Holy Spirit to direct. His guidance and authority ought not to be limited by man-made ceremonies or human organization. To summarize, then, this subject of choosing a church, a young believer should fellowship with those who acknowledge the Bible as their only guide, who are sound as to the person and work of Christ, and who seek to carry out the teachings of the New Testament with regard to the church and its functions. We've just been considering together Chapter 7 in the course, Lessons for Christian Living. Stay tuned for information on how to obtain your own copy of this helpful course. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.